Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 5 of the 5th season of The Worst Idea of All Time. And quick note.
Yeah?
You say your bit first.
Emmanuel 5.
Thank you, Guy. We recorded this before we watched 4, but I'm probably going to put it out after, because 4 is quite hard to track down, as it turns out. But we watched Emmanuel 5. It fucking sucked. I cannot imagine a more hard movie to masturbate to. And we also watched it in Italian, which was doubly frustrating because I'm pretty sure the OG was made in English, a language we know.
Across the board, a very challenging experience. I actually said to Tim during this film, this is the hardest movie I've tried to masturbate to since Requiem for a Dream.
Try the shrimp, everybody. He'll be here all week.
Yeah. How about a huge round of applause for our bar staff, the fantastic venue. You got a wonderful headliner.
This movie was so confusing. It was only an hour 15, but it's felt a lot longer.
Yeah, I think I've got some thoughts and notes I took. One of the big problems I had with this film as a skin flick.
You sound beaten down. Yeah.
Is I was never given enough context for who was having sex with who.
Yeah.
And why.
Yeah.
And whenever two people did start having sex, it would usually cut away to shots of two cups of tea on a tray on a train.
Or a photo of an Indian general that would zoom in and out really quick, like some sort of internet meme.
Yeah, it was, so this is...
Do you know what I think could be fun? Real quick off the top, scattershot, images that were in this, things that were happening. We had an aeroplane.
Yeah.
Fiery death of an aeroplane at the end.
There was a little peephole that people would poke their butt through.
There was that.
And it was like, it was not a secret. It was like a porthole cut out of wallpaper.
What was that movie at the start called that everyone was at the premiere of? The Fuck Express or something?
Love Express.
That's it.
Yeah.
There was this perpetual, it was like this never-ending fucking scene that they kept cutting back to of Emmanuel and a man naked cuddling.
Yeah, I had the impression that was lifted from the Love Express.
Right.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
They kept going back to this one super softcore shot of two adults standing up, pressing it on each other. It didn't look like they were actually having sex.
Absolutely not. Physically
both were
impossible.
Touching each other's backs.
Yeah.
Which can be nice.
Absolutely.
I like it. Do you know what I like? And I've liked this since I was a little boy. When I used to be a boy and I'd climb into my parents' bed. Like, it's not even a massage. It's just like fingernails run lightly across your back. Have you ever had that? I'm sort of doing it to Tim now. It's nice. Through your light. It feels nice, right?
Yeah,
it's really soft.
Yeah.
And there's nothing sexual about it. It's just like a nice,
honest,
just relaxing feeling.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a nice sensation.
But they weren't doing that with their fingers. It was much more passionate.
It was a bit more passionate. There was some interesting kissing in this movie. A lot of like tongues darting.
Oh, there was,
and
yeah,
it, like,
there was
tongues
one,
licking
one
tongues.
One good kissing scene where the tongues just going.
There was more than one of those though. There was a few.
I only remember one. They cut away to different shots of trains.
A lot of trains.
And all of this is like seemingly, oh, there was a big dance sequence. There's a big dance sequence. They're all in like jazzercise gear, mid-80s jazzercise. They're in front of a floor-to-roof mirror, and they're all just dancing to some sort of fucking MIDI. It sounded like it was composed on, have you heard of Sibelius?
Yeah.
It sounded like it was composed on that. Or GarageBand would be the broader reference.
Is that not super old audio software?
Yeah, it might be.
Okay.
I think it is. I remember I had to use it one day at school.
True.
And I came up with a rhythm that went like, da, 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 da. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to make a song. And then there was this other guy who actually knew how to use the software who heard that refrain, jacked the refrain, made this huge song that like the choir then sang. And I was like, that's my refrain. And the guy's like, nah.
This is a fucking outrage. Who's this guy?
Look, I don't want to name names.
I think you should, and I think
Thomas,
we should. Do it.
Woodfield.
You fuck. Thomas Woodfield, I'm going to find you, and I'm going to make you pay. Because you stole something from my boy. And I'm not talking about a refrain. I'm talking about a lifetime of musical joy. Guy could have gone on to become a famous composer. What have you done? You stay in Christchurch and get addicted to pee? Probably.
Whoa, fucking easy on, man. I'm going to look him up right now.
I really didn't think you'd use his real name. Usually on this podcast, it's Venom and Invented Characters. Speaking of which, boy, was there a lot of people in this movie. And I didn't know who any of them were or what they were doing. We eventually figured out... Yeah, that's cool. Guys found him. He's a real person online. Yeah. You can share that if you want. What's on there?
He wants it.
I think we've doxed him enough personally, but up to you. Are you just going to do this now? You're just going to cycle through his photos on Facebook?
He's married. The guy's done all right.
Well, yeah, no kidding. He stole that wonderful refrain and turned himself into a musical genius.
He supports teachers.
Wow. Who doesn't? Only baddies. We figured out who
the
Emmanuel
bloody,
was.
But the President Clownface doesn't.
You are half a beat too slow. speaking of no musical ability, your rhythm was off on that one, big boy.
I'm playing the offbeats.
Okay.
The whole podcast, I'm only hitting offbeats.
That's going to be very tricky for me, especially after watching this very
offbeats
tricky film.
Only. I'm inspired by the Polish director.
Oh,
Valerian Brovchek.
Valerian's a cool name.
This motherfucker. This is the first non-canon Emmanuel movie. I believe Sylvia Kristal is her name. She portrayed Emmanuel in the first four movies. Mm-hmm. In this one, we have a different actress, also a different director. I've clicked onto his Wikipedia page. Mm. Can I read you the first paragraph?
Love to hear it.
Valerian Brovchek, 21st of October 1923 to the 3rd of February 2006, was an internationally known Polish film director described by film critics as, and I quote,
yes,
a genius who also happened to be a pornographer. I challenge any of those motherfuckers to watch what we just watched. Because if it was an art house movie, like, do you know what? This movie is better watched for 1 minute when you sit down. You know when you go to an art gallery and there's a video installation, mm-hmm, and you're like, I'll see some of this. Yeah. And you sit down, you put the headphones on, you watch a minute of it, and you're like, ah, you probably have to see it from the start. And so you take the headphones off and you just keep on marching.
Yeah.
That's what this movie is, but it's an hour and 18 minutes. It's not a porno. If you took out your genitalia and tried to make yourself come to this movie, as outlined by us already, you'd be disappointed.
Well, I didn't think I'd be a convert to this segment, but boner patrol, any action from your downstairs?
I started getting a boner, but it didn't eventuate because my body wasn't cooperating with the film. The film wasn't cooperating with my body.
Was it anything related to the film or just
no,
freestyle?
Just a freestyle boner. And then, you know, like occasionally, they weren't afraid. I would love to see how many shots were left on the cutting room floor. Like floor.
They left everything in.
Like they weren't afraid to cut to some breasts.
We were watching,
stripped entirely of context, and so you'd get a little bit of a boner, and you'd be like, "Oh, well, maybe this would turn into a real boner," but it was never to be.
It's no Just Jackin, masterpiece.
Context
of erotica
is important in porn.
It's true. You can't just whack a couple sparrows in there and expect me to enjoy it.
Sparrows!
Betwixt the naked woman. What?
Sparrows were in there.
Yeah, man.
One of the most disrespectful parts of the film.
Yeah.
Just like for no reason, in between a sex scene, they just cut to a couple of sparrows.
Probably the worst bit, though, in all honesty, is the start, because everything takes too long. I couldn't really figure out... I think we were at a movie... Well, we were at a movie premiere.
This is a great chance.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure... Yep. I didn't read it, but when I went on the Wikipedia page for Emmanuel 5, there was a plot synopsis.
Okay.
I've got no idea what we just watched. You tell me, and then we'll measure it against the facts. Though what you're saying is the truth, because, bro, I don't tell you this enough. I respect you, and I trust you. Anything you say, I believe.
Cool, man.
I believe it about myself.
The very... Best.
Tell me something about me.
You're a cool fucking dude.
Yes.
You're radical.
Brother.
You freaked out the dog. Here's the thing about this movie. The very best part of it comes right at the top, which is the title card, which says Emmanuel in a very cool font. It occupies the entire screen, and we've got a solid color, which from memory was red.
On a black background.
Your Honor. I thought the text was white on red.
No, it was black on red. Red on black. It was red on black. I'll go with that.
Also, while we're here,
huge congratulations to the Canterbury rugby team who have won Super Rugby Aotearoa and the 11th Super Rugby Championship overall.
Black and red are their colours for those playing at home.
That's right.
Right.
A feat unrivaled.
A film premiere attended by a glitterati of stars.
Presumably.
Really interesting thing is they've spliced in some footage, which is obviously people who are not actors. And you can fucking tell the second you see it. You're like, that guy's not an actor. That person is acting. That's not an actor.
What are the tells?
Man, it's a vibe. I don't know. It's like there's something. It doesn't matter how good you are at acting. You're always, if you are portraying something, you're constructing it. And that looks different to if you just film someone who doesn't know you're filming them.
Mm. I actually, yesterday, before I bought YouTube Premium, I watched an ad for Helen Mirren's masterclass, and it opens with a shot of a seat in the middle.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Of the frame, and she walks into the seat and sits down. She says, I just did the most challenging thing you can do as an actor, which is walking as yourself. And I was like...
Pull the other one, Helen.
I'm going to pay... roughly $15 a month to never have to hear or see that again.
Dude, you just bought YouTube Premium, $15 a month. You should have bought the masterclass thing. Because once you get it, I think you get access to all of them.
There are lots of skills I'd like to develop.
It's like $400. I looked into it briefly.
Have you done it?
No, I haven't done it. Because it's still quite a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
But you
and
become,
I don't have enough time to like absorb it, I feel like. But the quarantine was probably actually the perfect time to...
I think a lot of people got into it in quarantine.
That would have been good. That would have been a good use of the
time.
What
would you want to become a master of?
Fucking anything, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get
I'm Ron
dead
Jeremy,
mouse.
And this is your masterclass in how to fuck anything.
I would love to learn how to
that was on
do
the on
clay.
Beat. That joke was on the on beat, and I'm sorry.
You're back on. Movie premiere. Then what the fuck happens? I don't even know.
It's the craziest scene you ever saw in your life.
What? What one?
Well, she was either at the movie premiere, presumably. I mean, I didn't even know who was Emmanuel in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But someone is leaving the movie premiere and there's a lot of the paparazzi.
Oh, God, that's right. Okay, well, this is bad. We won't dwell on it because we're not going
to
get
but
into all the
But they chase her
shit.
To a boat.
They chase her through the streets, removing her clothing to a boat. And she looks all playful, at the start. And then it's just like, what the fuck is this? And so she kind of makes her escape onto a speedboat that is piloted by the son of...
Christopher Reeves,
and who did you say?
Rick Moranis.
Yeah, yeah.
Pause. I can't remember what I was going to say, but you said something really great. You said it was, I don't know, just you're doing
okay,
a really good
cool,
job.
Cool, cool, cool.
As you were.
So she is naked on the boat. She climbs across the hull. He is taking off in the speedboat, doesn't know that she's there. She kind of emerges from behind. He, with the act of pure chivalry, sort of... doesn't sort of dwell his gaze too much on her naked body and offers his jacket to her. And then they cruise on the boat for a bit.
Here we go. Now it's going to get interesting.
Now we're this in is India. Like,
that was that little part of the movie that Tim just glossed over was literally the most linear piece of storytelling that the movie had the entire time. Like, it was the only time where our fucking director friend gave us like a long enough
Valerian.
A long enough period without stripping context or suddenly, you know, showing us a moving train or a couple of cups of tea.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
That's all right.
Just trying to get that in front of you.
Yeah, no worries.
We're good?
Really comfy. Like, it was the longest period of the movie that we got to see anything unfold.
Things that made sense.
Without, like, these artful cutaways to fucking whatever. We saw some shots of shots from beneath looking up into the Eiffel Tower. I didn't even know we were meant to be in France.
Were we in France at one point?
I think we were in France the whole fucking time.
What? No. Here's where we were. Well, probably Paris to... No, I felt like I was in Italy at the beginning, but that might just be because we're watching the Italian dubbed version. Then I feel like we were in India for quite a while, like most of the film. Then I feel like we were in Las Vegas, Nevada. You ever been?
Yeah, I went once recently, end of last year.
Oh, and did...
Took magic mushrooms, lost...
Did you?
$0. Made, also $0.
A lot of memories, though. Made any memories?
Made some memories, yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, I would never go back. It was more like it was geographically proximate to where the trip was ending.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like quite a nice sort of emphatic way to finish anything we might have picked up along the way.
Yes.
And say goodbye to America.
Yeah.
Both for me at the time personally, and I didn't realize, more broadly speaking, the concept of the nation for time immemorial.
Considering our analytics on this podcast, let's not get too in the weeds on that particular bit of analysis. Anywho's. So India, for a long time, there's an Indian army general who fucks. How do I say fucks?
He seems like a pretty horny guy.
Yeah, they fuck. The boatman fucks Emmanuel. Look, we've got a lot of girl on girl.
We've got reason to believe that most of the people in this movie fuck. It's
to Valerian's credit, a lot of breasts in this film.
But the difficulty is we don't know who they're having sex with, who they want to be having sex with, why they do or don't want to with each other.
That's on us.
That's not on us.
We don't know Italian.
Valerian doesn't know how to tell a fucking chronological story. I felt like I was watching the movie Seven. No, Memento.
Okay.
Memento, Chris Nolan movie, where fucking Guy Ritchie's got tattoos all over his body. He's trying to piece together his fucking life every single day.
Mm.
That's what this movie was the softcore pornography equivalent of.
That is a high compliment, I would say,
but done poorly.
Okay. I'm glad you put that qualifier right at the end so people wouldn't get confused.
When I want to jerk it with my big boy Tim, I want fucking straight down the line penetrative sex, chronological order.
It just
order.
Needs to be sustained for a while, you know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's the thing. This is what kept occurring to me while I was watching it. I was like, this is the Sky One After Dark shit that I... So, like, this is what I remember from adolescence. This is what clicked over on the cable box if you knew the PIN number or your parents hadn't changed it from the default 0000.
That'll get you into pretty much anyone's R18 content on their family TV. And if you're lucky, 12:05, 12:10 a.m, everyone's in bed. You're up late watching some breasts stripped of context.
It's a confusing way to get into sexuality generally, because it's like, wait a minute, this is how you fuck? I don't even know biologically how a penis would be entering a vagina right now.
Well, you never see that anyway, but at least usually they bother to get the physics roughly proximate.
That's it, right? This is the thing. And everything's so weird, and it's like, it's such a confusing time anyway when you're learning about that stuff for the first time, and then you're like, why are sparrows involved?
It's not unusual to have sex with anyone.
Why can't... I guess... I don't know. This guy being called a masterful filmmaker, and I know I'm paraphrasing, kind of shits me. Because I was not getting a whiff of that in this movie.
Here you go.
It looked terrible.
From start...
There was one good shot in the film.
From start to end. Tell me the good shot.
Over the shoulder, close up.
Conversation.
Of Emmanuel's face
with
in
dirty,
the train,
dirty,
I think it was.
Yeah. All right, 30 seconds, the entire plot, and then I'm going to give you the juice. I'm going to give you the real fucking deal. Go.
Emmanuel is attending the premiere of Love Express. She is chased down the street by paparazzi who are desperate to get a picture of her in a state of undress. She arrives onto a speedboat and is taken away by Hero A. Hero A in her travel to India, whereupon she meets some new friends and falls in love and fucks a general. Then she's thrown in prison for falling afoul of the rules because Mr. Emmanuel appears out of
time.
Oh, God, that was 30?
Emmanuel is a free-spirited woman who makes erotic art house films and runs a dance studio out of her loft in Paris.
Okay.
The movie opens with a Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous style montage of Khan.
Much better would it have been if Good Charlotte did the soundtrack?
So much better. Of Khan, with a documentary-like narration giving us an overview of the famous film festival held there every year. A film within a film. The sequence shows Emmanuel premiering her latest film, Love Express, in Khan, causing a scandal in the process. Mm-hmm. Later, she defends her film at a press conference to reporters who accuse her of creating pornography. After the Q&A, Emmanuel's producer introduces her to Prince Rashid, a wealthy despot who owns the fictional Arab country of Benglagistan.
Despot.
He is apparently obsessed with Emmanuel and wants to premiere the film in his homeland. Outside, a throng of male fans awaits Emmanuel, all desperate for a touch of the famed beauty. Things quickly escalate, and the mob strips her of every last article of clothing, sending her jumping onto a stranger's departing boat for safety. Her unwitting saviour is Charles D. Foster, a young millionaire who disapproves of Emmanuel's erotic films. The couple quickly fall in love after a night of exciting sex on his yacht.
After an argument with the concerned
Foster, Emmanuel travels to Benglagistan to promote her film.
Hit pause. That name one more time?
Benglagistan.
Can you click on... Is that got a link? Is that real country?
No, it's a fictional Arab country.
Oh, okay. All right, sorry, I missed that.
Benglagistan. It's incredible to think how much backstory these characters were imbued with that we were totally oblivious to.
There was quite a lot of narration in Italian. So, I believe it. Anyway.
She arrives to promote her film and meets Eddie, an Indiana Jones-style danger seeker who befriends her. Prince Rashid kidnaps her for his harem and decides to make her one of his 50 wives. Eddie helps her escape, and together, they run to the jungle. Charles sends an army helicopter to help Emmanuel. Eddie dies in the shootout, but she escapes with the helicopter. Emmanuel joins Charles on a midnight plane ride where they drink champagne and make love. The plane quickly falters and crashes into the mountains near Las Vegas. After being rescued and returning home to mourn her dead lover, she receives a note and flowers and realizes Foster is alive and loves only her. That is the movie we just watched.
Fuck off, it is. They kind of glossed over the fact that Emmanuel jumps out of the plane with a parachute on. That's quite cool. You should mention that in a plot synopsis, you know?
Yeah. What they described makes it sound watchable.
Yeah, it does. But again, I don't know, maybe if we knew Italian, it would be a bit of a different story.
Also, it was low res.
Yeah, there was that. And I'm shocked that you noticed.
Really?
Kinda.
I'm intelligent.
You're intelligent, but I just think most people don't care about that kind of stuff.
It was pretty low res. It would be like, if I was watching it on YouTube, I would have clicked on the res bit in the corner.
Been like,
and it would have been like 240. And I would have been like, ugh. And then it would be like 360, and I'd be like, and then it doesn't go to 420, it's just on auto, and it's auto on 240, and I'd be like, God damn it. And then I would have scrolled up and realized, hold on, I'm on YouTube Premium. What's this? 2,109. And I'd click on it, and it would come out of the computer, and yeah. I would be having context-free occasional bursts of sex in between gratuitous shots of cups of tea and sparrows. And I would have been like, damn, for $15.99 a month? Pretty good.
Pretty good.
The great thing about Google is they're doing good stuff with your data.
This should be their new motto, because they had to get rid of the old one, which was don't be evil.
Do no evil, yeah. Now it's like,
Google, we're doing good stuff with your data. And they should have cute ads like that, voiced by Kiwis. Google, we're doing good stuff with your data.
I reckon that would work. I reckon if the most sort of terrifying companies, or the companies that probably have the most mistrust placed in them because of, you know, the shady, shadowy...
the action they have taken.
Yes.
The things they have done.
If they just got New Zealanders to voice over all of the ads, it's so... like, Americans are Google. So soft on our accent.
5G, all good. Don't even worry about it. It's sweet ass.
5G is all good.
Yeah. Like I said, it's sweet
no,
ass.
No, I'm talking to you, Tim Batt, in the studio.
It's like Google, 5G, it's fine.
That wouldn't need to be an ad because it is widely understood that 5G is fine.
Yeah. It's no problems. 5G, all
agreed.
Good.
Can you say it just as Tim now, just in your normal voice?
5G, sweet ass.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
So it's agreed by Tim and Guy that 5G is all good.
5G, no problem.
Why do you keep saying the whole sentence? Just say, yeah, you're right.
No issues with 5G.
Why not be deliberately ambiguous about a terrifying conspiracy sweeping the globe?
Our audience is smart enough, I think. I hope. I pray.
And I hope!
Who was your favourite person in it?
And I pray! I liked... there was this mustachio gentleman who, while Emmanuel was running one of her dance classes in the loft, was either in a side room or...
Oh, the instructor dude?
Yeah, or maybe not even in the studio at all. Maybe not even in Paris.
Oh, was he the bald guy?
Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
He was cut to ribbons and he was getting his. And you'll be pleased to hear, for those of you watching along at home, thinking, hey, sex involves two people, were they getting theirs? Yes, both parties were getting theirs. We are to believe, although we do not see, that they both come. Simultaneously? Perhaps. Independently? Sure. Why not?
What else?
Who did you like?
I liked the boatman. You gave him a name. The plot gave him a name. The millionaire. Bad boy. Who's David, not on a yacht.
David Foster Wallace.
I'm right about that, right? It wasn't a fucking yacht.
Yeah, it was a tiny speedboat.
A little white speedboat. Which is what you have when you're in Paris. It's kind of cool that they, I don't know.
That
I
was think in Cannes, that scene was in Cannes.
I think it's fun that they're playing with the form of, you know, it's a film, she's a filmmaker, it's a film within a film, that kind of shit. It's actually, I'm torn.
Because you respect it more for this.
On the one hand, well, I respect, that's strong. The kind of meta playing with the form, the medium is the message kind of shit. It throws a bit of an interesting element in there. But on the other hand, It kind of reverts back to that very egotistical thing that artists do, where it's like, you know, there's so many books written about writers, like the main character is a writer. There's so many films about a guy who's like a filmmaker. You know, it's that kind of shit. Give me a fucking dope ass movie about a fucking plumber. But no, you won't, because you're not brave enough.
Well, it's because they
probably a lot of pornos about plumbers, though, to be fair. And I hope we encounter one in the Emmanuel series.
There aren't a lot of movies about plumbers because not a lot of plumbers are screenwriters, and not a lot of screenwriters are former plumbers.
Mate, being a screenwriter is about creating a world which you are not a part of. It is a fiction. a make-belief. So do you
your own life and experiences, communicating what you want to say, write what you know.
Get some more life experience.
You're telling me I need to learn a trade to become a screenwriter.
I'm saying you need to hang out with some fucking plumbers instead of your goddamn artist crew all the time.
That means
we don't talk
to each other anymore.
What do you mean? This is not mutually exclusive. We could get a new buddy who's a plumber. And then make a movie about it.
We can't just go and acquire a friend who is a plumber without forming some sort of meaningful foundation to begin with. You can't just cherry pick your friends based on their job. It's not how the world works.
I can do it.
Do it.
You sound like a little coward.
I sound smart.
You sound like a little chicken boy.
I sound like a grown ass cow. Moo.
It's Guy Montgomery.
It's Guy Montgomery.
A cow?
Yeah.
Why have you picked a cow as being your
opposite
animal
of a
brave
chicken?
It's not. That is a dog. Dogs are brave. Chickens.
Dogs aren't brave.
Yeah, man.
Look at your dog.
My dog's all good. He fucking bit my landlord yesterday.
That is cool.
He's a good dog. He's on the right side of history, man. He's with us. We've got to take down this
landlord
class.
What's the opposite of a cow?
A fucking dog. Oh, wait. Just a cow. Damn it. The opposite of a cow is a frog.
Why?
Reptile, small, wet, amphibious, lays eggs, and that's it.
You
can't get a poisonous cow.
Would you drink cow's milk straight out the cow's titty?
Yeah, dude. I would. Would you? Have you?
No.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't want to.
The germs?
Nah.
There's like good reasons why we pasteurize milk. I'm probably being a little forthright in agreeing.
Nah, you're right, dude. You got two jobs between now and the next time we watch a softcore porno
together.
Number one,
find a plumber, befriend him intensely. Find out about his life, penis screenplay. Two.
Did you say penis screenplay?
Pen. Eyes and knees, man. In New Zealand, it's anyone's guess.
Just having a bit of fun. Hey, is it illegal for me to goof around? Yeah, I don't think so.
Not yet.
No. Not unless a lot changes. Have you ever read a book?
I've read one.
What do you think?
It was good, man. I really enjoyed it. I like the act of reading.
What do you think about the practice of writing?
Harder than reading. It's more difficult to create the words than it is to absorb someone else's.
The words already exist. You're just ordering pre-existing words.
That's true. Unless you're William Shakespeare, and then you're freeballing it, man. And that is how you get famous.
He's still mostly organizing pre-existing words and planting a few and then repeating them to provide context for what they mean.
Yeah, and that's artistry, man.
So what was one of his most famous invented words?
Fuck knows, dude. I could not tell you. What am I, some sort of scholar of literature?
Dr. Seuss invented the word nerd.
I didn't know that.
Well, you do now.
That's really cool. This dog is a chicken, eh? My dog Rufus has joined us for the record, and he could not be more docile. Or like, he's just putty. Look at him right now. He's completely exposed. If he got in a fight with any dog, he would lose. But he's scrappy.
Here we go. Please note the table below gives by the sample of words Shakespeare coined and words he adapted. For example, elbow was a noun before Shakespeare, but he turned it into a verb.
That rules. That's creative, man. Do you reckon you could do that? Oh, no. Someone's already done it with vacuum.
Zany.
Weird. That sounds like a word that is way more recent than Shakespeare's day.
Puking, dishearten. Metamorphosize, marketable, moonbeam, obsequiously, frugal, gust, dwindle. These are good words.
Yeah, they are good
words.
That
guy rules. All right, you're right. I'm wrong. Dogs are the opposite of chickens. You need to become friends with plumbers.
Out of a total possible score of 1,245, what would you give Emmanuel 5? So once again.
245.
Shit.
It's 1,000 points missing. Each of them more frustrating than the last. I am learning about myself and what I want from a softcore pornography. And most of it's context. Context, context, context. This is why, you know, they took it too far and they dumbed it down for the masses. But this is why when a pizza delivery guy arrives at a house, you think to yourself,
I know where this is going.
I know where this is going, and it's not your fucking garden variety pizza delivery. Mm. there's going to be some sort of situation inside that requires the pizza delivery guy to come into the house. Mm. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in what was at one point in the collective sexual consciousness considered taboo, someone at the house is going to have sex with the pizza delivery boy. Now, one of the main taboos that we all seem to abide, if the suggested videos of pornographic websites are to be believed, is that everyone wants to fuck their family.
Oh, yeah. That really came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's fucking odd.
They're like...
I was going to say I'm not here to kink shame, but like, I don't know, that one's a bit... But like, can we...
No,
I don't want to shame anyone for it.
We can never kink shame,
I definitely cannot relate to this incredible vibe, which seems to have swept the world really quickly in the last few years, I think. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Spread like wildfire.
But also, it's a lot of step. It's not like blood relatives. It's a lot of step things.
Yeah. They got that loophole sewn up or sewn open. Tim, out of 1,245.
Good memory. It's higher than you. It's 420. Believe it.
I do.
Bye, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode of The Worst Idea of All Time, where we...
Boner Patrol.
We did it.
I did it.
Oh. No stirring in my loins at all.
See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.